Okay, Kumlan and Ablak Gemara. We are up to Dav Kuf Amid Aleph. If everybody can mute themselves. Okay, Dav Kuf Amid Aleph. So we had the questions that Rav Yechanan asked if Hanocha and the creating of a status happens or demolishing of a status happens at the same time. How do we work that out? So comes along Abaye and he says, as a matter of fact, that a boy b'shusarabim okasar, if you have a pit in the shusarabim, that's 10 tfachim deep, with a chavash main and 8 tfachim wide, which is definitely a shusayachid, because all you need is 4, v'zorak l'toicha machtelus, he threw a mat inside there, of course you chayiv. You stood in the shusarabim, you tossed it into a shusayachid. Question is, chilka b'machtelus, what happened was the mat landed right in the middle. So suddenly now, in each side of the mat, you have less than 4 tfachim. So at the same time that it landed, it demolished the status. So Rav Yechanan asked it as a question before, what happens in such a case? It is potter. Abaye rules, no question, definitely you are potter, because at the same time that it landed, it lost its status. And therefore, it's no longer chayev. It's no longer shesayachid. Says the Gemara, la'abaye, the pshita la'abaye, that is convinced. The machtzelus mevatlam, a baye that's convinced that a mat cancels the mechitza. A baye just ruled that the mat falls down, completely removes the status. Is koshken chulya the mevatlam mechitza sand? Surely, in other words, the mat eventually you might take it out, but the sand, when you put it there, you plan to leave it there forever. So if, in the case of a mat, Abaye says, even though you plan to move it out right now, the status of the Rosh Hashanah is lost, and it happened, you know, in the same time that it landed, it's not considered Rosh Hashanah. It's surely the sand, when you threw it in there, you plan to leave it there, surely, and it removes the status permanently, surely that you're not chayib, because the Hanocha happened at the same time that you lost the Rosh Hashanah. Abel Rabbi Yechanan, the Meboilei, Rabbi Yechanan, who had a question regarding sand. Madach by sand, which permanently removes the status. Rabbi Yechanan is not sure what the din is, since it happened at the same time. Maybe you're chayif and hanachah, because when you threw it, and right before it landed, it was going to shush Rabbim. The machtzelef shita, the loy mevat chitzasas. In the case of Matt, surely Rabbi Yechanan holds it's not canceling the status, because you're going to remove it. What about Malaya Mayim? You filled it up with water. When you fill it up with water, do we say it lost the status because it's no longer 10 tefachim deep of empty space? So he says, no. The Zorak, the Teichel, and you threw it in the Chayiv, you're Chayiv. We don't say that water completely removes the status, that it removes the mechitzas. However, Malaya Pedis, if it's full of fruits, the Zorak, the Teichel, you threw in the potter, you are potter. Why it lost the status of being a shusha yachid? It's as if you filled it up with sand. My time of mayim loy mevatel mechitzasa. Water does not cancel the mechitza, but pedes mevatel mechitzasa. Water is also transparent; you can see the wall, but pedes are not mevatel the mechitza. Tastes and others really want to know how come we learned before regarding the dvela, the attached date on the wall, that it takes away some of the space of the four amas, where Rashi learned, and over here suddenly we're saying the paters don't take away. What's the difference? And Tesis gives one explanation, is that because the dvela is one little piece, you'll definitely remove it, so it doesn't take away space. The paters is a lot, and if you decide to put it in the paters into the bar, you're probably gonna leave it there for a long time. So it's mevatel the mechitzas. Says the Gemara. That's one answer. If somebody throws from a sea to a main highway, from a highway to the sea, a highway is just a rabbim, sea is a carmelis, potter, you're a potter. Rab Shimon, why are you potter? Because a carmelis, potter mahatera, but you're chayiv midrabbanon. However, Rab Shimon says, im yesh b'mokum shazorak, omukas sorach arba, where it landed in the water. Let's say that there's a 10 tefachim deep, and it's 4 tefachim wide, it's considered a shusharabim. Even though there's water above it, the water does not cancel the mechitza. So it's different than the rest of the yam. The rest of the yam might be a kamlis, but that very section there, and so on and so forth, is considered a shusharabim. And therefore, you are chayiv. Okay, says the Gemara, we're up to the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Hazoidek Arba Amas Bekoisel. We already had this Gemara a number of times, but now finally we're learning the Mishnah where it is stated. So Hazoidek arba amas bekeisel. If somebody throws four amas, hazodik arba amas bekeisel. We're talking, by the way, in just the previous thing, when Rav Shimon said you have 10 tefachim deep. The entire yam is 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide. Yet it's a karmelis. We're talking about in the section of the yam, let's say, where it's not all around it is not 10 tefachim deep, and suddenly you have in the beginning of the ocean a little area that is 10 tefachim deep, so it stands out. So it's apart from the rest of the yam, and that little section is a shusa yachid. Now, all we're trying to prove from there is that water does not camouflage the wall, does not take away the mechitzes. Hazarik arba amas, because you're throwing four amas towards the wall, the mailam as a tefachim, if you throw it above 10 tefachim, so the airspace is the makom tur, is kizorik ba'avir. This is if you threw it in the makom tur, and you are potter, but lamata, in masar tefachim, but you threw it below 10 tefachim, so which is the space of shusar abi, is kizorik ba'avir, through the ground, yechayiv. Hazarik arba amas chayiv, if you throw it in space of shusar abi, four amas, yechayiv. V'holoi noch, ask the Gemara question, but it didn't rest. This is what Rabbi Yechanan said. It did rest because we thought right now it hit the wall and bounced back. It ricocheted. So we say no. It's a, you know, it was a fatty date and it got stuck to the wall and it stayed there. So there was a hanocha. What happens? We already had this gemara before as well. What happens if you threw it above 10 tefachim? It landed. There's a thick wall. But the hole inside the wall is tiny. And it didn't really rest in an area that's 4 tefachim. So what happens there? Is bonu, we come to the mach. Now the chayda, if there's a hole, we learned before that chayda, the shusayachid, chayda, shusayam, shusayam, was the question. So Teis already explained, we're talking about a hole that's through and through. It's through both sides of the wall. So it's not the kind of chayda that we say that, you know, has a din of a wall. It has its own dimensions. Now, what Gemara says, if he, let's say, it lands in a hole, kosher, and the hole is tiny, and even though the wall itself might be very thick and wide, but this hole might be, you know, a hole through and through, but it's only 1 inch wide. So we look at the place that it landed. It didn't land in a place of 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. But the truth of the matter is, bonu l'machleik is ramei v'rabbonon. This is actually the dispute between ramei and rabbonon regarding a mezuzah. You need a doorway. You need a height of 10 tefachim and a width of 4 tefachim to be chayiv in a mezuzah. But we're talking about where there's an arch and it tapers off towards the top. You know, that the last few tefachim, where the wall itself, you know, might be very wide, but the actual entrance is much narrower. So what happens there? The Rameyeh that says chaykikin lahashlim, we imagine that if you were able to dig out or carve out of the section of that wall, and as if there's a hole there, therefore there's a space of 4 tefachim, even though there isn't, we imagine that there is, because there's plenty of space there, and Yechayiv and Mezuzah is therefore Mechayiv. He would hold over here as well, that this hole, we imagine, it landed as if you dug it out of the wall, and you have your 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. And the Rabbanon that say, Ein Chaykikin Lahash, we don't imagine that, is Loim Mechayiv, you're not Chayiv. Tanya Namach, we learned. Zorak L'mayla Masari threw above 10 tefachim, which is airspace. V'holcha V'nocha B'chor Koshu. And then it went and traveled and rested in a small hole. Rameh is Mechayiv, and Vacham and Poitin. Exactly, and the Svar Zemachlik is exactly what we just said. Omer Ibn Yisrael, Marav, Yehuda says in the name of Rav, tell Hamaslake, if you have a little mound in the Shusarabim that slowly, you know, in slowly, gradually climbs up over a space of 4 Amis, and within the 4 Amis, it goes up to 10 tefachim. So the question is, do we treat this? So it's not a straight up wall, a vertical wall. It slopes up as gradually over a distance of 4 Amis. So the din is, in Vizorak, you threw an object, v'nochel gabbav, and fell on top of the mound, which is 10 tefachim high, chayiv, chayiv, even though in that section is not 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, because you imagine as if this entire area is actually vertical, and it's surrounding the top of the, the top of the mound, and therefore it's a shusayachid. Tanya, we learned that mavoi, if you have a street, sheshavu l'teichai, if you have a street where the entrance to the street is on level of the rest of the street, and what happened is, but the street is raised above the Shusarabim, and in order to get to the Shusarabim, you have to slope downwards.
And in order to get to Rishus Rabbim, you have to go down the slope. Or let's say that it was that the entrance to the Mavu was actually on level Shavu Rishus Rabbim, on level with Rishus Rabbim, but the rest of the street is lowered, and therefore you have to now go down a slope to get to the street, to the Mavu. V'nasa midin l'teichle, there's like a slope to go down to the street itself. So we're going to treat that slope as if that's a wall. If that slope is 10 tvachim, and over a distance, over 4 amos, we'll still imagine it's a vertical wall, and it's considered like a Rishus Yochid. Now a Mavi has 3 sides. You're not allowed to carry in the 4th side, even though Matreidi you can, unless you have a Koira on top, some kind of a beam across, reminding us that it's like an Edavir or a Lechi on the side, a post. Here you don't need to, because the slope itself, and this is how we use a lot of Erevin, you know, we make Erevin and the slopes. If the slope is, the rise is 10 tefachim over a distance of 4 amos, it's considered vertical, and you can use that as a wall. So, that wall, that street does not need a post, does not need a beam going across to allow you to carry it. Now, Chanina will go further, and he says, tail, hamislakit, asodim, tech arba, if you have a hill that climbs 10 tefachim over a distance of 4 amos, v'zorek v'nochagab of chayiv yochayiv. So this is the same point that we said before. Says the Mishnah further, what happens, zorak l'teich dalad amos, you threw it in a distance of 4 amos, v'nizgalgum l'chutz dalad amos, and then it rolled outside of 4 amos. Now we're not talking about that it landed on the ground and then the wind came and blew it out. Don't talk about it. So you threw it 3 amos, that's it. You're part of the melacha, your input, ended. We're talking about the way Rashi learns that you threw it 3 amos, and before it landed, the wind came and blew it out. It was a very light thing, blew it out beyond 4 amos. But didn't you have part of why? Because your intention wasn't carried out. You had no intention of doing an avera, of carrying it more than 4 amos. What about chutz al dal amos? You intended to throw it outside of 4 amos, and then v'niz galgum ter amos. You intended to throw it beyond 4 amos, and it actually went beyond 4 amos. But then the wind came, where Rashi learns, the wind came with something more. Wind came and blew it back inside. Chayiv, the din is yechayiv. Even though it never landed beyond 4 amos, because again, if you land beyond 4 amos, we'll talk about it. It landed. What happened a second later, who cares? It never landed. It flew into the area beyond 4 amos, and the wind came and blew it back in. The din is you are chayiv, as the Gemara will discuss. Says the Gemara, why are you chayiv? It flew beyond 4 amos, but never rested. So therefore, when the hanocha took place, it was within the 4 amos. So why are you chayiv? We're talking about that it rested on something. It's paused for a second, and the way some of the Shoyin learned, there was a little stick or something there, and it sort of hit the stick, and it paused there for a second before it flew back. And Rashi, however, is mechadish that even the reason why he paused is not because there was something tangible there. The wind. The wind was blowing and it sort of just paused there in the air before it flew back. And that's considered already hanochah. When? If it's within 3 tefachim from the ground. Tanya Mahori learned, Zorech was the dalam is with the chav deruah, the wind blew with nista and brought it back in. Afa pisha chazra, vaitziya, so even though it went back out again. Poti potter. A chaz deruah, mashu. And if the wind, however, held it back, a drop before it went after the 4 amos. The wind held it for a minute. Even though it went back in and landed within the 4 amos, you are chayiv. Why are you chayiv? Because the wind itself is considered, if it paused it, as if it rested. This is how Rashi learns the wind. Others say that, you know, the wind held it by a stick or something, that had to be something there. Okay. back to the Gemara. So the first case was it never stopped and it just went out of 4 amos and came right back in. Then you put it. But if it went out and it stopped, even if the wind would cause it to sort of pause in there, it's considered hanoch and yechayv. Amar Rosh Rabbah, toy gimel rabbonim, when we say, you know, Rabbi Kiva. Kiva holds that even if you throw something, shusayachet through shusarabim, 7 tvachim high. We say that klutik and moshe huncha, as if it landed, rabbonim don't agree with that, but they agree that if you threw it below 3 tvachim from the ground, you are chayv. They say within 3 tefachim is as if it's lavud, but nevertheless, as Rabbi, even though the Rabbanu say it's lavud, since we don't believe klutik mojunche, it had to stop for a second, had to pause somewhere below 3 tefachim, and then if it crossed over, but if it didn't pause, it just flew right through the Rishus Rabbi, even though it was 2 tefachim above the ground, you're not chayiv. Says Gemara, and the nafka mina is if you remembered that it's wrong what you did. Remember, if you remember wrong what you did before you did hanocha, you are potter because it wasn't a shayv from beginning to the end. So here, if you remembered right before it's paused in the shusharabim, then you are what do you call it? You don't make a carbon. Says Gemara.
Isn't this exactly what our Mishnah just said? That even if the cup, whatever you threw, traveled outside of four amas, you are chayv only if it paused for 1 second. And Rabbi Yechon said it had to pause. Isn't that the same idea? Rabbi Yechon Bushanach, Agabi Mashu, had to rest on something. Amaleim is Galgul Kamer. That case is talking about where it was rolling, the wind was rolling it. It was Galgul in Soif Lenuach. Over there, because it's very windy and it rolled outside of four and then it comes back in, over there, who knows where it's going to rest? You have no idea where it's going to rest. So therefore, it has to rest on something to be considered a hanocha. Aval hai over here, you threw something. It definitely is going to land wherever it is supposed to land. Given the soif of the noach, it's definitely going to land. If you remembered before it landed, afagav the loinoch, even though it didn't land yet, command the monodami. We would have thought that since definitely is going to land somewhere, so even though, what do you call it? You remembered somewhere in between, we would have thought that it's considered as if you remembered before, after it landed or something, Kamashalom, that no. It's not considered as if it landed, unless, even though it's gonna land, it's not good enough. It's not considered landed unless it actually stops for a minute and it has a rest. Says the Mishnah, Hazaydik biyam, you throw in a sea is a carnivalist. If you throw it across a sea, arba amas, four amas, potter, you are potter. A sea is a carnivalist, we had it in the beginning of the above, because people don't travel there as often, you can't get there, it's not that accessible. Im hoya rekek mayim, if you had a pool of water in somewhere on the street, but a shusar rabim level, people walk right through it, then it's treated like a shusar rabim. Hazoyle le teche da'olam l'chayv, you throw there four amas, you're chayv, because you just threw in a shusar rabim. The kamahu rekek mayim, what's the definition of a pool of water that turns into a shusar rabim? Has to be pachas masar tvachim, because it's greater than masar tvachim, and four tefachim wide, it's not, it could be a shusar yachid. It's not a shusar, okay, so in order to be a shusar rabim, it has to be less than 10 tefachim, and even though usually it's a carmelist, but here, because a lot of people walk through it, becomes a shusar rabim. What about, then the Mishnah repeats itself, rekek mayim, a shusar mayim, rabim halach, but you have a pool of water and a lot of people walk through it, hazoyrig b'toich adald amas chayv, if you throw in it four amas, you are chayv. Says Gemarom, lehom rabban l'rabba, this rabbi said to the rabba, bish loim hiluch, the Mishnah repeats the halacha twice. Tells you twice about walking through a pool of water, it becomes your shusar rabim. I understand why. Today, Zimna Hokamash comes to teach you that hiluchadit chakshma hiluch, that if you're walking through somewhere, even though it might be difficult, it's not that, it's not that pleasant, it's still considered a hiluch. Why? You want to say, I'm walking through the water, it's not that, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is, but a tashmish, aydet chaklosh me tashmish. If you have a hole in the ground, when we learned you have a stick in the ground, 9 tefachim high, and everybody uses it, it's considered a shusar rabim. But if you have a hole in the ground, even though people can use it and so on and so forth, since it's not so easy to use because you got to bend all the way down to pick it up, so, and you can argue that, it's like 9 tefachim high, rabim mekasma love, it should be treated like shusar rabim, we don't. Tashmish ayde tchak is not considered a valid tashmish to transform it to shusar rabim, but walking through it is. What do you have to talk about pool of water? What do you have to just talk about twice this pool of water? Give us another example of walking through a place which is not so easy accessible and say that you're chayiv, if it's better than a hole. Why do you have to give this exact same case twice with this pool of water? So the Gemara will tell you why. That's also chiddush. Chad be moizah cham b'chayiv, which is one in the summer, one in the winter. Utzricha, you need to tell me both times. Eat on a chad, only new one, for example. Have a minahani, milah be moizah cham, only in the summer I would have thought that it turns it into a shusar abim because a lot of people go there to cool down. David Inch, the mazgi, people walk there like kwayr and abshayiv to cool themselves down. In the winter, it's cold anyway. People don't want to go into the water and get colder. In the winter, they'll say, since the roads are full of mud and blotter, they keep in the mitnefe is dirty anyway. It goes into the mud and the water. In the summer, when it's clean, maybe one doesn't want to get wet. So therefore, we need to tell you in both instances. Abayi says, Itzik, we need it. I would have thought, Hani Mili, when is all this talking about? I would have thought, now when is it? If it's not four amas wide, therefore I would have thought that it's not four amas wide, and therefore people can go inside, and it's not so deep, and so on and so forth. But where it's four amos wide, so it's a big pool, akufim makafle, maybe you walk around it. It's not a shesarabim. Kavash lo, no matter what size it is, if people go through it, that's it. Rabashi, another chiddush. I would have thought that if it's four amos wide is one thing, but if it's less than four amos wide or long, I would have thought maybe people or why people would just jump right over it. But if it's very wide, they can't jump over it; they'll walk right through it. But if it's narrower, maybe they'll jump over it. And chiddush is that if people use it, it's considered shesarabim. If you throw this, let's say there's a board on the bridge that goes across the entire width of the bridge, but it's not part of the bridge. It's like a place on top of the bridge, and people walk on it, and you throw something only onto that board, you are chayiv. Even though people are walking on people, even though people might jump over it. And we would have, that's what Rabbi said before. We would have thought people would jump over the water. Kamashlon shesarabim. Here, this board, we would have thought because it stands out from the rest of the bridge and sort of sticks out, maybe most people would just walk right over it or jump over it, not stand on it. So maybe it's not considered shesarabim walking onto this board. And yet he says, Yechayiv shali rabim boikim boy. The fact is that most people will walk on it and not bother to jump over it. So therefore, you are chayiv. Okay, next Mishnah. So we're still continuing talking about an ocean or about a sea. It says the Gemara Rav Ashi, Mishnah Hazoidik mean Hayam Le Yabosha. If you throw from the sea, which is a canvas, to the dry land, which is Lashish Shusarabim, or mean Hayabosha Le Yam from the Shusarabim to the sea, Umin Hayam Le Sfina from the sea to a ship. A ship is considered a Shusayachid, it's 10 Fachim high and 4 Fachim wide. Umin Asfina Le Yam, or from the ship to the sea, from a Shusayachid to a canvas, Umin Asfina Le Chavata from one ship to another. Potter, you are potter. If you have ships that are tied to each other, you're allowed to carry from one ship to another, from one ship to another, if they belong to the same person, or if there's an error between the two. What about in Ainu Kshudas, two ships next to each other, Ava Pishim Kofas, even though really close to each other, even touching each other, are you allowed to carry from one ship to another? Ain metaltli mezu mezu. You cannot. Why? Because there's a canvas in between, and it's very common for the boats to start separating apart, and then it comes out that you are, maybe you might be carrying from one ship to, you might be carrying through a canvas. Because when the two ships come together, you're making a chatzedus, you're going from one shesiyachet to another, but if they're not tied, and the boats generally move in the water, suddenly you're going, the aid of it is cancelled, because suddenly there's a canvas stuck, right in between, intercepting your two ships. Okay, so the Gemara, when we learn, Sfinah ship, let's say you're on a boat on Shabbos, how do you take water from, you need water from the ocean, how do you draw water from the ocean, which is a canvas, to your ship, which is shesiyachet? Says the Gemara, eat what we learn, Sfinah, if you're on a ship, Rav Huna says, Maitzi Heimen Ziz Koshu, from the, one of the sides of the ship, above the water, you bring out one plank, only merely as a heck, as a reminder that, it's really not allowed to carry from Karmel, Shesu Yachid, but here it's different. Umemale, you're allowed to fill it up and bring it into the ship. Why are you allowed to do it? We'll see in a minute. L'chayri, you're taking from a Karmel, you're drawing water from a Karmelist to a ship, which is a Shesu Yachid. We'll soon see why you're allowed to. Mar will explain. That's Rav Huna. Rav Chizda v'Rabba, but Rav Huna Amri, Oysa Moko Abo, you're not to carry from the water to your ship. You have to create, we are lenient here because you have no choice, so we allow you to make a suspended mechitzis partition, so you make four partitions you have from the ship, even though it's raised above the water, much more than three tfach above the water. Nevertheless, you take your pail, your bucket, and you draw it down. In between those partitions, it's as if you're taking from a shesiyachid to a shesiyachid. Generally, that wouldn't work, but here in the water, we're being lenient. But we treat it like you're not allowed to take makamas to the ship, but you have to have these four partitions. Interesting, we learned more a while ago, if you remember, that Rav Huna convinced his son, Rabba, to go ahead and learn with Rav Chizda. First, he resisted because all he told him was about health, but eventually he went. And whenever, and constantly, Rabba takes the side of his teacher of Chizda and he argues with his father. That's what his father got his just dessert, forcing him to go to learn with Rav Chizda. Says the Gemara, what's going on here? What's the argument? So he holds Carmelis Ma'arim Hashchinah. When we say that a sea, that the it's the ocean floor, that where you begin counting your 10 tefachim, and the bottom, and the bottom of the ocean is considered a Carmelis. But once you go above 10 tefachim, you know it's not longer a Carmelis. Anything above 10 tefachim, makam turu. So really, when you're on top of a sea, it's not even a Carmelis. Uvedin who rightfully disease Namilaboy. So really, it's a makam turu. So you should be able to draw water from the ocean to your ship. So how can we even make you take out, we mandate that you should take out a board, a plank or something and hang it out there? There should be some kind of a hecker for you to remember that generally speaking, you know, I'll take my Carmelis and here it's different because it's not really a Carmelis. In the future, you'll know you won't carry from a Carmelis. They say, no, they say, you know, you have to actually have converted to a Shusha Yochid. And why is that? So we hold Carmelis Misfas Mayim Hashchinah. They hold that all the water is considered like one packet, like one thing. And where do you start measuring the Carmelis by the ocean from this, not from the sea floor, from the ocean floor, but from the surface of the water, you count Kent Fochim, that's your Carmelis. Misfas Mayim Hashchinah, you measure from the surface of the water. Maya and the entire water is Ada Smichta, it's like thick ground. And therefore, the entire water is considered Carmelis, and you then extend it for further 10 tefachim above the water. If you don't make these partitions, you'll be carrying from a Carmelis Yochid, and we can't allow that to happen. They argue, they're the ones that say take out a plank, but really it's considered a makam tur. But we just want to have a reminder. Why aren't we worried that sometimes, why are they so lenient? Sometimes where you are in the water is so shallow that there isn't 10 tefachim to the ground, and yet you give this, this law, unequivocal law, that whenever you're in the water, on the ship, you can just draw water from the ocean, just have a little reminder. What happens if you're in a section of the water which is only 6 tefachim deep, and you'll be drawing water from the ocean, you're taking directly from a carmelis to the ship. The kometatul, the carmelis is a yachid. How can you do that? We have a rule, the ain't sfinur mahaleches bepochas ma'asara. A ship does not go in an area which is less than 10 tefachim deep. Even though more area we had to do, that's talking about boats, you know, fishing boats and all that. We're talking about a proper ship that has a hole and everything else, definitely needs deeper water. They don't want to get stuck in the mud. So therefore, there's never less than 10 tefachim, you know, from the ship to the ocean floor. the water of the ocean is definitely deep, at least 10 tefachim. Says the Gemara, what about the top of the ship sometimes rises from the water? So let's say the top of the ship, you're facing the land, is rising above the water, so there the water can be less than 10 tefachim. You're right, a ship, the hull has to have at least 10 tefachim on the bottom. But what about the front of the ship, which is basically most of it is out of the water? That section of the water could be maybe only 5 tefachim deep. And then if you draw water from there, you'll be carrying from a carmelis to a ship. How can you do that? Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Safra, Gishushe Oz Lekamo. The way it works is they used to have these people on the port that they used to go and make sure that no ship is found in water less than 10 tefachim because, the ships can get stuck. And they always make sure that they prod the ships to make sure that it stays in the deeper part of the water. Says the Gemara, So now Rav Nach Yitzchak turned around to Rav Chiya Ravin. He said, "Let me ask you questions the other way around." What do they do with their wastes? Since you're telling me that from the water to the ship is a Shusha Yochid Carmelis, what do they do with the wastes? How do they get rid of their wastes? And of course, they could have done that same mechitza, but they don't want to do this. It's a big job, it looks like, and they don't want to throw the waste down at the same place where they're taking the water out because it's your land. Right where they want water from the ocean, which they might boil up or whatever it is they're going to use for, and they don't want to use wastewater. Hey chishal, how can they do that? They wouldn't want to throw it down the same place where they draw the water from because then it's mis, and they're not going to want to use the water for any purpose, knowing that they threw their waste down there. Says the Gemara, you know what they do the waste? The shadilu adaft in the sfinah. They just toss it on the side wall of the boat, and then on its own it falls down. But how can you do that? Since it's your energy, you're throwing it against the wall, and then it drips down into the ocean. It's your energy. It's not koich koichay. It's sort of your koich directly. Says you're right. But koichay be karmelis legazru. If you would have thrown it directly to the yam, that of course it's awesome. You're throwing on the wall, that's merely your koyach. And when it comes to Rishus Rabbim, we said before that it's osa. Well, but when it comes to a kamlis, we are much more lenient, and it's not osa. So the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says, Amuka sore, if let's say the ship is 10 tefachim deep, the eng gevoya asore, so the ship itself is just a yachid. If you're standing inside the ship is 10 tefachim deep, part of that is inside the water, 4 tefachim wide, okay, but it's not raised above the water from 10 tefachim. It's not raised above the water 10 tefachim. For example, the ship itself is, you know, is in the water as well from the weight and everything it's carrying. Is metaltle metoichel yam. You're allowed to carry from the ship into the water by which the method we said before, by putting it on the walls. You're pouring it down the walls. It's only a koyach, and the water is a karmelis, so koyach by karmelis one goyzer. Avaloi min hayam letoicha. But you're not allowed to take from the yam via the same way through the walls. You can't do that. Why not? Ma'ishna min hayam letoicha. Why is it from the yam inside the loika? The lo you can't become a taltlin mikamlis yachid. That you're taking from a karmelis to shusay yachid. Betoich liyam nami kemetal to shusay yachid lekarmelis. And the other way around, also from shusay yachid lekarmelis. El alav must be chuda. The only way to explain it is that when you're going up, you can throw water straight out of the sea. Of course, you can't, because it's a karmelis to a ship. But why you could put it down is because you're splashing it against your wall, and then it comes down, so only you kayach. And therefore, you're allowed to. And this proves what we said before. Shma mina koicha bekamlis legozu. Shma mina, it's a good proof. Okay, we'll stop here. And we'll continue tomorrow with Hashem.